Great. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Craig Battleman, and I work in global services in our sales and go-to-marketing team. I globally support folks like Steve Nell and Emma Beatty, whom you work with on a regular basis with your Tivoli-type opportunities. I work with the product teams, both here in the United States and abroad, on a service that we've recently developed called Tivoli Live Monitoring Services, and that's the core of the presentation today. So what I'd like to do is tell you a little bit more about the service, and then I'll move on to the agenda in just a moment, and I will be letting everybody know what page I'm on as I'm going through through the presentation as well, just so that if you are looking at the presentation and not logged on to Centra, you can easily keep up. So Tivoli Live Monitoring Services is Tivoli's first foray into the software as a service market. What Tivoli did is they recognized the need to be in the software as a services market, and what they did is they decided that monitoring would be their first step. It is not the entire Tivoli monitoring portfolio. It's actually a subset. And so the subset that we're focused on is ITM and ITCAM. So it's the monitoring for applications and enterprise applications. In the future, we're looking to add in monitoring for transactions, energy management, and mainframe. But those will be future enhancements. Tivoli Live, the goal of Tivoli Live, from a Tivoli perspective, was to really open up new markets for their enterprise software, new markets that were previously closed to them by customers who either could not afford or just would not purchase the licenses required to run the software. One last point before we move on. The target business partner are really the partners who are already selling and delivering Tivoli's automation product suite. So those are the partners, and those are the folks, and I believe that's everybody on the call. That's who we're really reaching out to as our target market. Okay, let's go to slide two, just briefly, for the agenda and the overview. This is also a meeting invite, so I'll be covering some information on Tivoli Live, some overview information. We'll be talking about the value propositions for the customer and the business partner, yourselves, and we'll talk a little bit about next steps. I won't be going through the backup materials. You can always read those at a later date. If you do have the presentation or choose to download the presentation at a later date, you'll find that there's speaker notes on most of the slides. Let's go to slide three. This is the overview side, probably the first of the two primary slides I'll be talking about today. So, Tivoli Live Monitoring Services. The services, they're the Tivoli monitoring services that we selected, ITM, ITCAM, we did not change them in any way, shape, or form so that they were modified or skinnied down for the mid-market. They were really left intact. And so our goal is to offer this flexible, affordable package, basically at mid-market prices, to customers who previously would not have purchased the licenses. So again, this is truly the enterprise class service, and enterprise class monitoring service for the mid-market. It's a secure service. There's no VPNs involved. The monitoring data flows one way, from the customer to IBM. So Tivoli is providing the software. Global Services is providing the hosting. We provide that hosting out of the United States right now. We're looking to expand that globally to other locations. But as we've announced and launched the service, we have tested for latency and have not found any problems so far. The service itself, as I said, is secure. What we do is the monitoring data, as it's flowing to Global Services or flowing to IBM, is encrypted. We coordinate with the customers or the business partners the ports that are used by the customer to send the monitoring data. We coordinate the ports used on our side to receive the monitoring data. And then we create an individual virtual server for each new customer so that we're not commingling anybody's monitoring data. We do use a shared physical infrastructure. You do pay for what you use, just like software as a service. It is not quite so sophisticated like a cell phone company that we're tracking every single minute of every single day and billing accordingly, but we do work out the agreement. We have a contract templates in place where the customer would agree to pay for a certain amount of services monitored on a monthly basis, and then as those services that they are monitoring varies, we can adjust the contracts accordingly. We also have multi-language capabilities. As all of you are probably aware, Tivoli tools are already multi-language capable. What we've done is added the multi-language capabilities to our call centers. Why don't we jump to slide 4? So slide 4 is really the more in-depth overview of the solution itself. Tivoli Live has three services or three components that make up the service. Each of these components can be acquired individually or in any kind of combination with each other. I'll go through each of these services. I'll give examples of each. I'll talk a little bit about the a sample scenario for one of them and how the pricing would work. And then I'll also talk about a number of the different contracting points that are at the bottom of the page. So distributed monitoring is really our agent-based monitoring, mostly associated with what you would consider ITCAM. So this would be monitoring our production-oriented applications, the applications that if they went down, customers would be severely impacted. You know, I'm thinking of things like SAP, maybe a PeopleSoft-type application, or enterprise applications, you know, critical databases, outward-facing web applications. The idea that you know, if these applications went down, customers would be severely impacted in terms of revenues, revenue collection, credibility with customers, or even facing regulatory liability type issues. So these are the applications where we want a rich historical bank of information as to how those applications are performing. We want to be able to perform the predictive analysis on those applications so that as their performance is reaching certain thresholds, we can take action in advance of a problem and thereby alleviate the problem before it occurs. Or if an application does go down, we want to use the predictive analysis and the event correlation type capabilities built into the tools to quickly isolate the problem, resolve it before we're severely impacted. So all of those kinds of capabilities are associated with distributed monitoring, and that's the agent-based monitoring. And that has its own price point and a price per month per service. I'll give an example of a price per month per service in a moment as I go through the three different types of service components here. Touchless monitoring is really your agent-less monitoring, and there's really two elements here. One is really based on operating system touchless monitoring or agentless monitoring. The other is for network devices. For the operating systems, what we're doing is taking advantage of all of the natural monitoring and systematic systems type data that the native operating systems are throwing off. So this is more associated with ITM. The idea here is that we're just taking collection of what's already available, making it viewable through a common portal so that you can see, use, and then manage your applications, even though they're not necessarily collecting all the same data. A primary difference between distributed monitoring and touchless monitoring is that the presence of the agents with the distributed monitoring enables the tools to take automated action for certain events or to enable someone to remotely take action using the agents for those events. Touchless monitoring does not have those capabilities. The second flavor of the touchless monitoring is the network device monitoring. It's much more than an up or down notification, but it's not necessarily the in-depth, the comprehensive capabilities offered by the NetCool suite. But it is a form of introductory network device management and monitoring, you know, that you can take advantage of. And that has its own price point. The performance services is really a global services capability. Global services hosts and manages over 200,000 physical and virtual servers for our strategic outsourcing customers globally. And as you can imagine, we have a very broad set of automated reports running against those servers for capacity planning, utilization, usage metering, all those kinds of capabilities. And what we're doing is offering those reports to our customers, to our Tivoli Live customers, you know, for a fee, a usage fee, just like all the other services here. Each of the services, the touchless and distributed monitoring, entitles the customer to use the software. They certainly do not take title to it, but they also have access to all of the Tivoli online best practices that come associated with the licensed versions of the products. Now let me example of distributed monitoring and, you know, how you would count up the services. When we talk about managing the number of services or monitoring the services. What we're really talking about are application instances. And that could be an instance of a database, hypervisor, could be middleware, could be an enterprise application, an operating system. So the idea is that it is any type of application that we're monitoring. In terms of how you would count them up, each instance is counted individually. So imagine you have a Blade server. On the Blade server, you would have the native operating system, and you would have the hypervisor. Imagine it would be VMware's hypervisor. Within the hypervisor, you'd have five virtual servers, just as an example. In each of these virtual servers, imagine that you have maybe one hosting a database, one hosting a hypervisor, one may be a web application, one could be Microsoft Exchange, and so on. But these would each be considered, for this example, a critical application that we'd want running, you know, up all the time. So right here, you have an example of five virtual servers, each containing their guest operating system, each containing a critical application, sitting on top of the Blade server with its own host operating system, and the virtualization engine, the hypervisor. Right there would be 12 instances or 12 services that you're monitoring. And so for this case, the monthly charge would be, in this case, the list price of $58 a month times 12. So you can see how quickly the number of services or instances would add up. So let me touch on now some of the contracting points and some of the more business-oriented points at the bottom of the page. And I actually will not go through these in order. I'll just kind of jump around a little bit here. There is a one-time charge with setting up the service. When we designed the service and created the service, we had a bit of an internal struggle. Do we charge the upfront costs upfront as a one-time charge, or do we try and allocate them over the life of a contract? What we decided to do was that since we were offering very varied contract terms, and we wanted to give customers a lot of flexibility in opting out of the service and possibly going to licensed product if they chose to, we decided to give them we decided to use the one-time charge up front as our, you know, as our process or our method. Right, with the one-time charge, what we're doing is setting up the virtual server, sizing it appropriately with the customer, helping bring the customer on board, helping making sure the customer's agents are properly downloaded or that they're setting up the virtual collection server correctly so that they're doing the touchless monitoring. So all of that's what's really covered with the one-time charge. There are multiple contract terms, as I said, starting as low as 90 days, although I think most customers would probably want to go as long as a year. If a customer came to us and said they wanted to do 11 months, we would certainly do that too. There's a lot of flexibility here. In terms of the sizes, one of the ways that we struggled with was how big do we offer this service, how small. And so on the small side, you know, we're really thinking that most customers who have less than 25 services or application instances aren't really going to want to use a service as comprehensive as this. It's not necessarily our sweet spot, but it is, you know, available. What we're doing is actually working internally to find some ways to go below that 25 threshold, but again, it's not our preference. Our preference or our sweet spot is really closer to the area or the line of having about 100 application instances or services to monitor. On the top side, we're looking at a top level of having 500 services or instances to monitor. And that was set for two reasons. The first was the Tivoli finance team is very concerned about cannibalizing licensed product sales. The second is that, you know, as we're setting up each individual customer server, what we're doing is, you know, creating their individual server, we're sizing it appropriately for the amount of monitoring data that we're going to collect. So some of that monitoring data we're saving for a day, some we're saving for a week, some we save for a month, some we save for the life of the contract, and so we want to make sure we size that server appropriately. Now, that all that being said, we've actually already had a number of customers approach us that are significantly larger than the 500 services. There's one in the Pacific Northwest in the United States that approached us that has approximately 3,500 instances. And their comment to us was, we will never buy licensed product. It's not in our nature. We ourselves are a software as a service company. And so we will buy this product in a software as a service format, or we'll find an alternative, even if that alternative is not as robust or provides a less comprehensive solution. And so we certainly did not walk away, but what we're doing is testing out a custom architecture for that customer and working on some custom pricing. So I would encourage you to not necessarily just walk away from a customer that is very large, that might, for whatever reason, refuse to buy the licensed version of the product. We will certainly entertain custom architecture discussions and, you know, look at a custom pricing scenario. Why don't we jump to slide 5? So slide 5, really the main points I want to make here are that the Tivoli Live monitoring services was really the first step. So as I already mentioned, we're looking at what types of monitoring services we can add or expand to, things like transaction monitoring, monitoring for energy management. But we're also looking at new capabilities, other Tivoli capabilities like service desk, more comprehensive event correlation, network management, application discovery, those types of capabilities. And we're setting up those priorities right now for the next release. One last point to make on this slide. As we add these new capabilities, we Global Services will coordinate those and integrate those on the back end so that the customers and partners like yourselves do not have to do that work. So that's something that will be done already for you as we roll out the new services. Slide 6 is really just an architecture view of the service. As I said, it is a secure service. You know, once the customer downloads the agents, the data flows become one way from the customer to IBM. They're encrypted in transit, and we coordinate the sending and receiving of the data with the customer to make sure that there's no commingling of monitoring data across customers. So also in the future, we will be looking at different types of hosting scenarios so that it's not just out of the United States, and that's something that we will be building out as we enhance our cloud infrastructures. Let's jump to slide 7, the business partner value proposition. There's really three primary value propositions here for the business partner, and those are the ones I want to touch on. So I won't be reading through the entire slide here. First value proposition is the service itself is ready to do monitoring out of the box. It's ready to do the enterprise class monitoring out of the box. It's already pre-set up so that you could be monitoring data within hours once you have it up and running. However, it's ready to do monitoring for a generic customer. It's not set for a particular industry. It's not set for a particular customer size. So there needs to be some type of consulting engagement, some type of consulting services engagement that the partners, you the partners, really should be doing to help the customer map their business requirements to Tivoli Live and vice versa. So the idea up front is there should be a consulting engagement. It may not be as large as you would have if you had sold the licenses, but there still is a consulting services engagement required. The second value proposition comes in an A or B flavor. It tends to be one or the other. So let me cover the A one first. For some of the customers on the smaller size, I don't envision the customer saying, gee, now that I'm making use of this service, I have Tivoli Live up and running, I think I'm going to go take Tivoli courses and learn how to make best use of this solution. I think those customers are really going to come back to you, the partners, and say, do this work for me. Provide me with a managed application performance management solution. You use the portal. You set up the alerts, the notifications. You let me know if there's a problem. You take action on the infrastructure on my behalf so that you have a managed services type scenario, which would represent annuity revenue for you, that would be the business partners, business partner community. Global Services can certainly do that if asked, but definitely it's a value proposition we're hoping the partners fulfill. On the B side, as I said, the second value proposition had an A or B flavor to it. On the B side, really what we're looking at is there may be some customers who come in and say, you know, I do want to monitor my own applications. You know, set it up for me, but train me how to use the Tivoli service. Train me on best practices. And so you would have then, in addition to your professional consulting services engagement as you started, you'd also have a training services engagement, you know, that you'd be selling. And then the third value proposition is really just reselling the service itself, which would represent an annuity revenue stream. Global services would be billing you, the partners, and you would in turn be billing the customers, whatever price you negotiated with them. We will not be billing customers directly unless we had happened to have sold to them directly. Let's jump to slide 8. So Tivoli Live is really an enabler for growth. And I have to admit, I have skipped this slide in the past, and then after speaking to partners, they ask a question, and I find myself turning back to this slide. So really, best just to cover it here, at least for just a moment. Once you sell Tivoli Live, there's a lot of other opportunities, a lot of other star-bursting opportunities for new sales. You could expand the footprint of services that you're monitoring. As we come out with new capabilities like the event correlation or service desk, those are more services that can be sold into the customer environment. You could sell a managed services, a managed application services. If you're selling managed application services and you have access to all the application performance data, you could come back, look at that data, and maybe sell an application optimization engagement. So there's really a lot of services that could be sold as a result of Tivoli Live. But Tivoli Live could also be the result via a sale as a result of other engagements. So if you think about a server or a server consolidation or virtualization engagement, as you're now consolidating more and more applications onto fewer and fewer physical devices, those operating systems, hypervisors, and applications take on a greater importance. And so now you have fewer and fewer of them, so you're going to want to have more information on how they are performing, making sure that they are up and running as much as possible. So there's a lot of sales opportunities that you could use to lead into Tivoli Live, but also use Tivoli Live to really expand your sales footprint. Let's go to slide 9, client value proposition. So I won't read through the presentation or this particular slide. It's something everybody can do. When I meet with customers, I tend to focus on 3 questions, and they're included in the speaker notes. I find that when I ask these 3 questions, it leads to great discussion with the customers and really helps to understand, helps them understand their need for this service. So the first question I typically ask is, can you predict and prevent application outages before they happen? That's the core functionality of the service, just as it's the core functionality of the licensed versions of this product. And so really what I like to know is what monitoring systems, what applications, what processes are in place, you know, for the customer to really prevent outages. And what I tend to find in my discussions is that customers don't have a particular tool that they're using. They tend to have a collection of tools, and that they tend to spend a lot of time culling information from those collection of tools, trying to bring them together to do, you know, uniform reports. And then, you know, if there's an outage or a problem, you know, using multiple systems and multiple tools to try and isolate the problem, you know, and then resolve it. Okay. The second question I tend to ask customers is, if there is a problem, if there is an application outage, how rapidly can you diagnose it? How rapidly can you isolate it? How rapidly can you bring the application back online? And this leads to a lot of great discussions, because it really then delves into, what is the cost of an application going down? Is it important to bring it up rapidly, or can it sit there and fester and then bring it up maybe like a print server at your own convenience? And so this leads to, you know, the revenue questions. What type of application? Is it revenue producing? Is it, you know, associated with revenue? Is it a compliance type application, a regulatory compliance application, you know, or is there credibility issues involved? All of these lead to great discussions with the customer, really makes them think long and hard about how they need an enterprise-class monitoring solution. And then the third key question really is, you know, do you want to reduce your capital expenses and IT management costs? Do you want to use a single enterprise tool to manage your infrastructure, monitor your infrastructure? Do you want to reduce your training costs? You know, do you want to forego the outlays needed, the capital outlays needed for licenses, the hardware, training, things of that nature. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should not be selling the licensed versions of the products. I absolutely understand and encourage you, and certainly would want you to be selling the licensed versions of the products whenever and wherever possible. It is certainly most profitable for you, the business partner community, and it's certainly most profitable for IBM. But if you do run into customers that either cannot afford the licenses or will not buy licenses because of maybe their business model, please consider this as an alternative solution. It will put money in your pockets, it will put money in our pockets, and will save the customer a lot of expense and really give them great value. Let's jump to slide 10. We do have a couple of wins already. One is in the United States, one's in Mexico. Both of these are with our direct channel. We hope to have a few business partner channel wins shortly, and we're working with a number of partners on some opportunities. But each of these wins came for a number of different reasons. One, the one in Mexico, IBM already had a fairly large managed services engagement or contract with the customer, and the customer wanted to expand the footprint of some of those applications that we were monitoring. And so they entered into an agreement to expand that contract, include Tivoli Live. And it's a multi-year agreement. The one, the consumer products company in the United States, is actually a multi-billion dollar company that was really looking at purchasing the Tivoli licenses. And what they wanted to do was actually purchase the licenses in 12 to 18 months. And what they really wanted was to start achieving the value now, start learning how to use the products now, start to really identify what skills they needed right away. And so what they did is they purchased Tivoli Live, with the intent to use it for 12 to 18 months, start to set up their alerts, their notifications, start to develop a lot of competency using the tools, and then make the determination in 12 to 18 months if and how to make the leap to the licensed versions of the products. This this company also wanted to make use of the integrations that we've created between Tivoli and the IBM Systems Director agents, as well as the network monitoring that we've provided. Let's jump to slide 11. So slide 11, I'll just touch on these points. First is contracting. This service is not acquired through Passport Advantage. It is acquired through a global services statement of work. They're template statements of work. They're not negotiated each time. They're already set up by our own contracts and negotiations teams. They're highly standardized, and they are already in place. It's really a P times Q calculation on the number of services that will be monitored times the price per service, as well as the duration of the contract. The services themselves are in a remarketer mode, if you are familiar with the global services contracting method. If you're not familiar with global services contracting, we will definitely help you with that. We have our services channels teams working with Steve Nell and Emma Beatty on that so that there is a smooth handoff, as well as a very smooth level of support. We are looking at some other contracting methods within global services. One is called the prime bidder model. I don't want to touch on it too much, but it does, that model would help facilitate a little more of the managed services type opportunities with customers. In terms of the prime bidder model, it would enable some degree of multi-tenancy, but it is not something we're, from a global services perspective, shall I say, exceptionally excited about, because it would involve setting up only a single virtual server for each partner in that case, and that partner would, in effect, be commingling their customers' data and then setting up different logical views to segregate those customers' data, and they might not be offering those customers then views into the data. that might work for some very small customers. But I don't think for the larger customers that that would be really a viable solution. In terms of revenue, this is just for your own information. It's just I'm often asked this by different partners on how the revenue is handled by IBM. We split the revenue between Tivoli and Global Services. It doesn't matter how the deal is sold. We split the revenue. If the deal is sold by a partner, if it's sold through direct channel, doesn't matter. We split the revenue according to prescribed formulas. In addition, what we're doing is because these contracts are signed on Global Services contract, this from the partner perspective comes across as services revenue. It doesn't really count against your Passport Advantage requirements. It's something that I wish I could say we were working on and figuring out, but I'm not sure that that is something that is easily doable. But it is definitely an understood challenge that we are working to overcome. In terms of compensation within the Tivoli teams, all of the client executive teams are compensated, so they are very supportive of the service. The Tivoli face-to-face teams are all compensated, so they would help sell an engagement as well. And we are working to expand the Tivoli compensation coverage to make sure that it includes the channels teams as well. Why don't we jump to slide 12, which is really the final slide here and the next steps. So really what I would ask from a partner perspective is, you know, that you go back, think through in terms of how often you're meeting with customers who are interested in Tivoli's monitoring capabilities. They're interested in the solutions. They're interested in the services. But they come back and say, we just can't afford the licenses. Or they come back and say, the licenses, it's not our model. It's not the way we intend to go in the future. We want a different solution. I would argue, consider Tivoli Live. It is a great value for those types of customers. If you do meet up with those customers and you would like to have a demo, we're glad to perform one. We'd be glad to perform a demo for any individual partner if asked. Likewise, if there needs to be a proof of concept, we can discuss that as well. Really, that's the end of my presentation. I encourage you to identify any collateral, sales collateral you might need. And at that point, really identify customers, make some sales calls, ask for help. I'm glad to support. I know Steve and Emma are glad to help out as well. And let's close some deals. Emma, did you want to make a few closing comments?
Yeah.
Well, I think Emma may be having some challenge joining, but what Emma had initially and Steve Nell had initially asked that I remind everybody of is that if you do want to copies of the presentation and you don't have them handy, just reach out to us, your business partner, contact as well, and we'll get that presentation for you. And if there's questions people have, I'd be love to answer questions, either through the tool or, I guess, through raising your hand. And I think the host, is that Christina? If you could also make Emma a speaker, that'd be helpful as well. And this would be a great time to ask for questions.